Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Well, welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. Glad you could be with us today, and I'm glad to have Adams Road Band, or at least three of the five, with me. I'm Bill McKeever, your host, and we're going to talk a little bit about behavior again, but not just behavior, because we talked about that the first day when we were with you guys, when a Mormon missionary comes to our door. But we're going to talk more specifically about what are some of the issues that probably should be brought up if we're going to have a positive conversation with our Latter-day Saint acquaintances. Because there are some issues that I have found that are not worth bringing up. I usually don't bring up the polygamy issue. I usually don't bring up, of course, the temple. I don't want to bring up garments or anything like that, because I know that for many Mormons, that's going to be an automatic turnoff. But when you are on your mission, guys, okay, when you were on your mission, what were some of those issues that caused you to want to continue the conversation? Micah, you want to start?
Yeah, let me just start too by saying, you know, it's important to show them love before you ever, you know, if a missionary comes to your door, don't slam the door in their face. Right. Don't yell at them. Don't tell them they're going to hell. Give them a bottle of water, invite them in, whatever you're going to do. I just want to start with that, because there's a lot of Christians that don't understand, that they need to feel that love before they're ever going to engage in a conversation where they feel like, they want to, talk to you. Mm-hmm. And I know that's how it was with me. And we addressed this, in one of the earlier shows. You know, for me personally, it's different for everybody. You know, mine was the idea of works, working for salvation. And I think that's a great thing to bring up. And I know Mormon Research Ministry has a very good outline of how you can show a Mormon missionary through their own doctrine how they can't even uphold their own law.
Right.
And that was big with me, was somebody explaining to me, through the Bible, how we can't work for salvation. And that was a big thing to me, because for those of you, you know, that know Mormonism, I mean, there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of things you have to do. You know, there's tithing and going to church and your temple ordinances and all these things that, you know, contribute to your salvation. And Jesus is only a part of that. He's not the whole thing. And so, that was definitely something for me that was a big issue for Christians to bring up. And that I personally like to bring up a lot in dealing with LDS people is the grace and works issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. You know, probably my biggest issue is just a mistrust of the Bible, because I had talks with Baptist ministers and they tried explaining it to me, and I would just zone it out. It just went right over my head, because I believe the Bible is corrupted. I even studied New Testament for a semester at BYU, read, you know, all the epistles, and never saw anything of grace versus works, because I was just blind to it. I didn't trust it. So, you know, helping people to understand, you know, go to Matthew 24:35, where Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, and ask them, do you believe Jesus has the power to keep his promise? You know, even going to Isaiah 55:11, that just as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, so the word that goes out from the mouth of the Lord will not return empty, but accomplish the thing he set it out to accomplish. And again, it's just a question of, does God have the power to make these things happen?
Would you say then that that Christians, do you wish, let me put it this way, when you're on your mission, do you wish that maybe the Christians that you met knew more about how our Bible came to be and were able to present that information to you? Do you think that would have had an effect on you?
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that really irritates me as a Christian is, and I have mentioned this many times, and people who know me personally know this is one of my pet peeves, I am so tired of the bumper sticker Christianity. And what I mean by that is these little pithy sayings that really don't, that maybe mean something to us personally, but certainly would not mean anything to someone outside of the Christian faith. Like, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That sounds great. I understand what it's saying, but how is that going to really convince somebody? Because it sounds anti-intellectual, for one, you know, and certainly Christianity is an intellectual faith. C.S. Lewis talked about that. If you don't think so, he's not looking for intellectual slackers, C.S. Lewis said. And it takes a lot of learning and education. There's no doubt about it. Micah.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly throw in, you know, that it's important for Christians to be equipped. just like we said, because I think a lot of Christians are inequipped and therefore they feel inefficient in trying to minister to Mormon missionaries. And a lot of times that comes across. And if the Mormon missionaries come to the door, it turns into fear. And that fear turns into slamming the door because they don't want to deal with it because they're not, they don't know the Bible like they should. And one of the big focal points of our ministry is to get Christians to get into the Word of God and to know the Word of God. It's not enough to know Jesus saves you. I mean, that's everything. Knowing Jesus saves you is everything. But in ministering the Word, you have to know the Word. And you know, faith comes by hearing of the Word. And these missionaries are never going to be able to gain true faith in Jesus Christ if they're not hearing the Word of God. And that has to come, you know, from the disciples, from the Christians.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little insight. When we were in the MTC, we were trained.
Missionary Training Center.
Yeah, sorry.
For our listeners who don't know what these letters mean.
So in there, we were trained to have specific responses for what Christians would ask us. And you know, like we would say, we teach them this, they would respond this way, and then we respond this way. And using different Bible verses, not using the context or anything like that, but just having a fire, I don't know what the right word is, but, you know, like a response without even thinking about it. And so it's really important what Micah was saying about how that you as Christians, you need to be prepared and equipped with the Word of God when they come. And then when they come, you let them teach what they're going to teach and say, we get equal time. After you get to share your message, we would like to share what we believe. And then you can go point by point, whatever they teach, however the Spirit leads, you know, use the Bible and show them the truth.
When a Christian made that kind of a deal with you, okay, you get to talk, then I get to talk. From your experience, did that kind of put you on notice that this guy probably is going to use his time wisely or what? I mean, just tell me what your personal experience is on that one. Because I would think that if a person says, okay, I'm going to give you your time and then I get time, it's like this guy's coming prepared.
Yeah.
Was that usually how it was?
Yeah, I think it's dependent on each situation, and that's kind of a touchy thing. But I think one thing you could do, and I'm just – from my personal experience, the Baptist minister, he didn't say that, but he was respectful enough to listen to us, and I felt obligated to sit there and listen to him.
Okay.
And that, you know, that's the way it was with me, because he was showing me respect. I felt I needed to show him respect, and I think most missionaries will do that, because again, they're not mean guys.
No.
They're not deceptive people. They're not out there trying to, you know, they have a genuine concern for you as a person because they believe that you're lost, and so I think that because of that, I think they'll be respectful in listening to you. And I think if you're equipped as a Christian, you need to bring them into your home, you need to show them Christian love, and then you need to minister the truth to them.
I remember having a couple missionaries here a few years ago, and we were having some great talks. I mean, just going back and forth on some issues, and I remember the issue of Moroni 10:4 came up about praying whether the message is not true and all that. And, of course, they wanted me to read the Book of Mormon. And I says, guys, I've read the Book of Mormon, but I'd love to talk to you about that. And I'd like to talk to you about why I have a problem with Moroni 10:4 and 5. And so when they came back, I actually explained to them the situation that I had with this. I said, this is a no-win situation here. I said, I have to answer the questions the way you want them to be answered. Otherwise, you just blow off whatever I'm saying, even though you're saying that my personal feelings matter everything in this. And it got to the point where, at the end of the discussion, one of the missionaries, I think, actually agreed with me and saw the point I was making, that Moroni 10:4 and 5 is not a very good approach for determining truth. But again, it was a matter of listening to what they had to say. And then I had my turn, and we would go back and forth. And it got to the point where, when they came back for the third time, they said they couldn't stay because the mission president had told them that I wasn't, I forget the phrase, but it had something to do with I wasn't ready to learn, you know, and they were there to teach and I wasn't ready to learn. But one of them actually expressed his disappointment because he had actually enjoyed the talks that we were having. And, you know, that matters a lot to me, you know, and I think it should matter a lot to Christians that when a Mormon feels bad that he can no longer talk to you under certain circumstances, that should make us feel pretty good that maybe we've done something right here, because we don't want to end, you know, on bad terms. It's not to say that I haven't had intense conversation with some Mormons, and it's not even to say that I've never said things that I regretted afterwards. But still, I think, you know, the gentleness and respect that we often emphasize on this show is very important.
Yeah, Steve. I agree completely. You know, like we've talked about, it's so important to have that approach of love and to show them genuine concern just as much as they show for you if they're ministering to you. But, you know, it's important to, you know, I think just like that Baptist minister gave a challenge to Micah and very lovingly gave that challenge. But, you know, hey, give the Bible a chance, you know, read it as a child and gave him a promise that if he'd do that, that his eyes would be open and he'd see that gospel of grace. And just really, you know, getting people to understand that if you're reading the Bible to confirm what you already believe, you're going to see whatever you want to see. But if you really just, you know, and it's hard to do, like, you know, with biases and everything else that we have, but letting go of that and being willing to let go of that and to just give it an honest chance and try your best to read it at face value. There are things in the Bible that will surprise, honestly. So.
Realistically, how many Mormons did you know that had really taken the time to study how the Bible actually came to be?
I would say none.
Joseph shaking his head.
Yeah, I didn't.
Shaking your head doesn't come out on radio.
No.
None. So really, really none. And, you know, that's kind of been the experience that I've had in talking with Mormons, that very few of them have ever taken the time to study how our Bible came about. They have this misconceived notion that somehow there was a power at B that was able to collect all the various thousands of manuscripts all over the known world and go through and change them all, you know, in some dark room somewhere. And I mean, I call that one of the greatest Mormon conspiracy theories ever imagined, because of course that's just impossible. It couldn't have happened that way. This idea of many plain and precious truths all being taken out by one, you know, one big huge entity, you know, this awful, you know, church of the devil out there, as first, you know, Nephi 14:10 says, is just really a ridiculous notion once you really study history. So none of you have ever really known any Mormons that have taken the time to do that. So
no, Steve. And I was just going to say, you know, there is overwhelming evidence for the New Testament that the message of the Bible has remained the same for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. And that just boggles the mind when you really take the time to do the research and see that it's a miracle.
It is. So. It is. And hopefully through what you guys are doing, people will see that. It's Adams Road Band. com, and if people want to know, you know, how to get a hold of you, they can get through to you through that website. So I strongly encourage you. You guys are doing an incredible job, and I mean, the Lord bless you guys and what you're doing, and just pray His grace upon you, and that people will listen to what you have to say, because it's so very, very important.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information, or call 602-788-8864.